How are you preparing for the coming of Christ? Do you make cookies? Is that your thing? Do you decorate? Do you do what I do? Shop? That's my jam, people. Do you repent? It's hard to believe that all Judea and all the region of the Jordan were going out to John the Baptist, and they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan. And it says this, they were confessing their sins. To think of making your way out in this crowd of people, all to see some guy out in the wilderness wearing this garment of camel's hair, leather belt around the waist, munching on some locusts and some wild honey. I mean, doesn't that sound like a guy you run from, not run to? And yet the people went out to meet John the Baptist because they knew the prophecy. They knew the word of God. The prophet Isaiah had prophesied, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so for centuries, they had held on to this promise. For centuries, they had waited for it to come to fruition. And now the time was here. The last prophet who was going to point the way to the promised Messiah. So allow me to ask you again. How are you preparing for the coming of Christ? The people went out to John the Baptist to respond to his call to repent. Now, normally when we think of repentance, what we usually think of is we think of saying we're sorry for something that we did or we didn't do that was against God's commandments. And then we, after we say we're sorry, we ask for forgiveness. And there's nothing wrong at all about that understanding of repentance whatsoever. But the word that's actually used here has a different thrust. There's a stronger meaning associated with the word repent. When John the Baptist is calling the people to repent in this text, he is calling them to be converted from unbelief to faith. The people were being told, stop putting your faith in your works, like the Pharisees and the scribes constantly told them to do. And instead, now that the reign of God had come in the person of Jesus Christ, now they were to put their faith in Him and Him alone for their salvation. Which then kind of begs the question of us. In what ways have we been led astray in this world as we prepare for the coming of Christ? Because there's a lot of fun traditions that families and individuals have at this time of year. But the question is, do those fun family traditions, do they help us be prepared for the coming of Christ? Do they? Or do they cause confusion? Or perhaps even lead us astray from Christ altogether? And then to ask ourselves, or actually this, do we even pause to ask ourselves a question like that of, do the traditions that we hold to actually direct us to Christ and point us to Christ? Or are we just simply doing what we've always done because, well, it's tradition and it's fun, and well, there's no harm done there, and so we'll just let another year go by of doing the same thing that we've always done, but we're not going to give any thought to it about, does this actually point to Jesus? Maybe the better question might be, are the ways that we choose to actually celebrate here in this time of year, are they actually preparing us for the coming of Christ? And then, what impact do your preparations have on the way that you think about the reason for the season? Or do we just go through the motions? Just keep doing the same thing we do every single year without even giving a thought about, are we actually focused on the reason for the season? Nope, I'm going to keep doing that tradition because it's what we've always done, and no way am I going to buck tradition whatsoever in the family. But do we actually pause and give thought to how it might impact how we're thinking, or what impact do the preparations have on the way your kids or your grandkids might be thinking about the reason for the season? You see, with all of the ways that the world says that we have to prepare ourselves for this season, do we, even as Christians, just get caught up then in all of this consumerism and all of this chaos only to miss the reason for the season? Or our kids or our grandkids miss the reason for the season? The truth of the matter is, and every retailer, and most radio stations for that matter, would be upset with me for saying this, it's not Christmas yet. It's Advent. It's the season of Advent. And I know that we have radio stations that start playing Christmas music on November 1st, and then on Christmas Day, turn them off. People, the season of Christmas starts on Christmas Day and ends 12 days later on Epiphany. That's when Christmas happens. No matter what the retailers and the radio stations might be saying, this is a time for us to actually wait. I was talking to somebody the other day. This will be about an hour story. And they were telling me about how they have learned in their life the value of waiting and anticipation. That in reflecting on life, they learned that by waiting, they learn to appreciate things more. But we live in a society, right, that is all about gratification now. Two clicks and we got it, right? Everything. Black Friday, that's 3 weeks before Black Friday. Black Friday, not about buying for others, it's about buying for us. Everything is about me, myself, and I. And that's why I say this all to challenge the way you think. Because if you're caught up in the ways of this world, in the consumerism, in the chaos, how does your life look anything different than the way it does out there? It's Advent. Advent is a time that we have been given for worship and repentance and focusing on Christ and His coming. And that's why we get this glimpse into the wilderness here where John the Baptist is snacking on these locusts and wild honey and everything, and it just seems kind of weird and everything, but then he says, repent. He calls them to change who they're following. He calls us to do the same. Change who you're following. Stop following the ways of the world and follow Jesus. Prepare by repenting. If you and I are preparing for the coming of Christ, by getting caught up with all of the chaos and the consumerism and all that kind of stuff, then now is the time to repent. Change your direction. Confess where you're at fault. Confess where you've sinned. Confess for yourself. Confess for your household. Stop following the world and follow Jesus, only Jesus. And think about just what type of an impact that that might have, not just for you and your household, but also for the family members that you have that aren't following Jesus. But change isn't easy, is it? It's tough to swim upstream, right? When everybody else seems to be going this way, and then all of a sudden you start going this way, that's really difficult to do. We live in a world and in a country where it's impossible to seem, it seems like it's impossible anyway, to go a minute without getting a commercial that's telling us, you gotta have more, you gotta have better, you gotta have bigger. But John the Baptist's message is awesome. Because what he says here in this message where he calls us to repentance is, he says, you can have more. You can have better. In fact, he says it in another text, and he says, and he literally points. He's like, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you want more, if you want better, follow that guy. Because Jesus gives you more. It's called eternal life. He gives you better. It's called forgiveness of sins. And I'm telling you, nothing out in the world gives that. How are you preparing for the coming of Christ? Just like the people in the day of John the Baptist who held on to this prophetic promise from Isaiah that the Messiah would come, we are holding on to a promise as well. We are holding on to a promise that Jesus said that he's going to come back. Now, we don't know when it's going to come. We just don't. But we do know that it's going to come. It's going to come, which means we need to be prepared at all times. I heard recently, what if we lived every single day, woke up every single morning as if it was going to be the last day? How would that alter how we thought about the day? How would it alter the conversations that we have? Who's that person that we haven't had the conversation with that we knew that we wanted to have a conversation with, but we just keep pushing it off? We want to tell them about Jesus, but no, we're going to wait for that. But if I actually treat every day with the urgency of I want to just simply get ready for the coming of Christ, I'm going to treat that day like it's the last, and I'm going to jump right into it with boldness and courage because I got Jesus going with me. You see, we look before us every single Sunday and we see this cross. What does it mean? We see that cross and it is a fulfillment of a promise. That cross means that Jesus has done exactly what he said he was going to do. Jesus came at Christmas just like he said. Jesus went to the cross and died just like he said. Jesus came out of the tomb alive just like he said. And Christ will come again just like he said. It is sure, it is certain, in the words of a Minnesotan, Yasher, you betcha it's going to happen. Just as he is going to be preparing a place for you in heaven even now, which he is doing right now, so it is that he's coming back to take you to be with him. So how are you preparing for his coming? John the Baptist tells us how. He tells us to repent. Follow Jesus. He points to him. He makes it clear. Follow him to that cross and that empty tomb. Stop following the ways of the world. And look to Jesus. It was brought up the other day in men's Bible class that our baptism is not an isolated event. It's something we live every single day. And what was meant by that is that we daily live out our baptism. We do so by spending time with Jesus, the Word who is made flesh. And so that means that we study God's Word. We get to know Jesus more and more every single day. Are you doing that? He's your Savior. Are you inwardly digesting Jesus as if your life depended upon him? Because it does. We have the opportunity every single day, it is a beautiful gift, to daily die and rise with Jesus, daily confess our sins, daily receive his forgiveness. And then we get to come here and he gives us his body and his blood and he forgives our sins and he gives us hope in a world filled with hopelessness. And all of this is his gift so that we can be prepared. Prepared for his coming. It's as my favorite hymn concludes. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh may I then in him be found. clothed in His righteousness alone, redeemed to stand before His throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We rise for the prayer of the church.